deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp at the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
My name is Butch Patrick. That's right, Eddie from the Munsters, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Craig Hines from DarkImaginings.com, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hello, this is Michael Bruner of the National Honors Convention, and you're currently listening to The Big Scary Show.
Oh my goodness, it's The Big Scary Show!
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
This week, on a brand new Big Scary Show, we have a brand new website, courtesy of Charles Terry, and some of our hosts are out covering conventions, but that doesn't mean we drop the quality. Rather, we take it up a notch. We continue our series of conventions as we talk to Michael Bruner from the National Haunters Convention, and we find out what will be getting you in the haunting mood the weekend of May 3rd through the 5th in Philadelphia. Badger sits down with legendary actor Butch Patrick to find out what it was like growing up as Eddie Munster and everything that's happened since. The Round Table of Terror talks to Craig Hines, the owner of Dark Imaginings, and we discuss his line of portraits, his book, and why we give so much grief to one of the stars of the American Scream. Storm has finally dug himself out of the blizzards, and he brings you yet another rant in a haunt minute. The unknown scare actor will make you face your fears once again, even though he's covering a convention. The haunt rocker Jerry Vane is spinning the tunes to keep your haunt building season going. Badger brings you the news. All this, plus more, only on the Big Scary Show.
You want a big show with top vendors, useful education, a kick-ass haunt tour, and one hell of a party. The National Haunters Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Go to nationalhauntersconvention.com. It's not just big, it's national. May 4th through 6th. For tickets and information, go to nationalhauntersconvention.com.
Deadline News is sponsored by the National Haunters Convention, May 3rd through the 5th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. www.nationalhauntersconvention.com.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We have some news on the Rondo Awards. Well, folks, it's that time of year again. Time to vote for the 11th annual Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Awards. For those of you unfamiliar with the Rondo Awards, they are the only classic horror awards presentation. The Rondos honor classic horror, recognizing the best in monster research, creativity, and film preservation for the year 2012. The Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Awards were created by David Colton and Carrie Gammel at the Classic Horror Film Boards in 2002. The awards are fan-based and have no connection to any commercial sponsor. Anyone can vote or propose nominees. For 2012, there are 35 different categories, and the deadline for voting is midnight, April 7, 2013. For a complete list of the nominees and to vote, go to www.rondoaward.com/rondo/rondos.html. We have news on the Mad Monster Party. The second annual Mad Monster Party will be held March 22nd through the 24th at the Blake Hotel, 555 South McDowell Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. Special guests include Gunnar Hansen, Kane Hodder, Gary and Jake Busey, Danny Glover, Peter Criss, Lita Ford, a reunion with cast members of Cabin Fever and Jaws, plus many others, and on Saturday only, Kirk Hammett and the legendary Bruce Campbell. There will be vendors, a costume contest, the Mad Monster Midnight Spook Show featuring Professor Mortez, the macabre magic of Zabrecki, the Miss Haralina pageant, panels and screenings, a trip to the Haunted Mill haunted attraction, and much, much more. For tickets, complete guest list, and everything else Mad Monster, visit www.themadmonsterparty.com. We have some trans world news regarding Brian Wolfe from Karen Murphy. Quote, through the generosity of several people, we will have a booth at Transworld to support Brian Wolfe and his family in his ongoing battle with pancreatic cancer. We will be selling wristbands at Transworld to raise money for Brian Wolfe's fight for life. We will be asking attendees at Transworld to become members of his support pack for a minimum donation of $1, and 100% of all money collected will go directly to Brian. There also will be a book for anyone who wants to send a message and wish Brian well to sign at the table. I am looking for a handful of people to help out by donating an hour or two of their time to help staff the booth with two people per hour shift during show hours. Please contact me either by private message or at metamurfis, that's M-E-T-A-M-U-R-F-I-S, at AOL.com. I know the haunt community will hit this fundraiser out of the park, and I thank all of you in advance for your support of this event. Unquote. We have some news from the National Haunters Convention. The National Halloween Horror Haunted House and Hearst Convention is the place to be for the Beauty Underneath Fashion Show. Come see the latest innovations in the costuming industry. See the type of fashion styles to attract more patrons to your venues. See the type of image you want for your advertising and publicity. Reasonably priced but eye-catching headliners for your attraction will give you an edge on the competition. Step ahead of the trends rather than playing catch-up. The latest innovations in the costuming industry are for all to see. Build up your current image or recreate who you are and become who you want to be. New and exciting fashion styles, ideas, and cutting-edge images for one and all. They're also in search of models. Their clothing vendors need models to walk the runway at the show. If you're interested, please contact Susan Beloff for details. You can reach her via Facebook at facebook.com/susan.beloff. That's B-E-L-L-O-F-F. We have some interesting news from Crazy Bob Turner of the Haunted Hydro. Via Facebook, quote, what? Australia again? And New Zealand? Yes, it is true, folks. I, the person known as Crazy Bob Turner, am headed down under again starting March 15th till April 15th to officially train the actors and manage the show for Hollywood Horrors. Only this time, I will be starting up a brand new event in Sydney, Australia for 2 weeks, and then going to New Zealand for the last 2 weeks, starting another new element at that location as well. I have carefully chosen 3 additional actors and a house manager to make this eventful trip another successful endeavor. The last 2 trips have resulted in winning the top award at Sydney's Royal Easter Show Festival in 2011 and 2012. This 200-year-old festival has almost 1 million attendees over 14 days. The cast of actors consist of 23 to 25 people from all over the world, and it is a non-stop 14-hour-a-day customer interactive walk-through haunted event, which continues to be a huge success overseas. So my work is really cut out for me this year, with 2 entire productions, and one of those a completely new haunted house unit never before seen designed by Scare Factory in Ohio. So much to do and so little time left before I go in the coming weeks. I will tell you more about who I have selected to go on this work adventure with me and what we will be doing in the haunted industry halfway around the world. Till then, Crazy Bob says, thanks to all my friends and family in this unique and wonderful industry who have helped me along the way, because without your collective knowledge and talents, I would not have had this special opportunity. Unquote. The Big Scary Show wishes safe travels and best of luck again this year in the land down under. We have some news from the Dungeon of Darkness Haunted Attraction. The Dungeon of Darkness Haunted Attraction in Pekin, Illinois needs your help via Facebook. We are building a haunted house in Blount County scheduled to run in October 2013. The theme is a haunted medieval castle, and we are in need of all kinds of materials and artifacts. We want the haunt to be realistic with great scares and lots of eye candy. All donations and materials will receive 4 complimentary tickets and your company name listed under the special thanks to when we have t-shirts printed up. We're looking for 4x8 panels of any kind of wood, plastic, metal, or foam. We're also in need of styrofoam plexiglass, Lexan, clear plastic, PVC pipe of any size, large ornate picture frames, old oscillating fans and small electric motors of any kind, black material, old slide projectors, cheesecloth, rotisserie motors, working DVD players, multimedia projectors, candle sconces, plastic vines, metal tubing, strobe lights, black lights or specialty bulbs, fog machines, Halloween decor, if it's scary, mannequins, rubber Halloween masks, and scary costumes, chains, fire retardant black plastic sheeting, old mirrors, coffin, medical paraphernalia, swords, shield, medieval decor, and anything else that you think will add to our haunt, we will gladly take it off your hands. Thanks for looking and donating. We have some news from the Kim's Crypt Haunted Attraction. Kim's Crypt Haunted Attraction in Essex, Maryland has announced it will be open for St. Patrick's Day. Thanks to you all for making our Bloody Valentine's weekend a great success. See you the weekend of March 15th through the 17th for our Crypt Patrick's event. For more information, visit www.kimscrypt.com. We have some product news from Gore Galore. From Facebook, quote, because of such a crazy, overwhelming response over the beanies we've created, we went ahead and uploaded them to the website. Here's the link to the Undead Apparel website. If you're not going to be attending the trade show, then please order directly through the website, and we'll ship as soon as we can. The better the ordering response, the more we will create, and they all come packaged and with header cards. Unquote. For more information, visit gore-galore.com/undead_apparel.php. We have some news from the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference, courtesy of Matthew Flagler. Attention, home haunts, charity haunts, and non-profit haunts. You can save 50% off the cost of a seminar series wristband if you purchase tickets in advance. You must provide proof that you are a home, charity, or non-profit haunt. Also, the organizers of the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference are in negotiations with a special guest that had a major role in The Walking Dead, who hopefully will be there to meet and greet fans of the show. There are rumors that there may be more special guests coming to the conference. For tickets, information, and more, visit www.canadahaunts.ca and they hope to see you in Hamilton, Ontario on April 12th through the 14th. We have a bit of news from the Heart of Darkness haunted attraction. The Heart of Darkness, located in Waterloo, Iowa, is looking for volunteers. The locks have been changed at the Heart of Darkness. If you still wish to do construction and need a new key, please get a hold of Kevin to do so. Also, they're still looking for volunteers to help build for this new year. You can get a hold of Kevin at oxopalerideroxo@aol.com with the subject line, construction help. We have some news from the Haunted Barn in Staunton, Wisconsin. Construction has started at the Haunted Barn. It has begun. Building of the Haunted Barn 2013 started yesterday, and with much needed help from a couple of torpedo heaters, we have begun dismantling and rebuilding in our first barn. Construction will continue regardless of Mother Nature, as we'll have an early sneak peek haunt to get ready. You will get a chance to see a bit of 2012, along with a few of 2013's secrets before we go all out in late September of this year. Plan on being here a while this year, as we are adding a ton of new areas. In addition to this already approximately 45-minute haunted adventure, this will all continue to run as one huge haunt. No individual tickets for different adventures. One ticket takes you through it all. Start getting pumped. It's coming. For more information or to follow their progress, visit www.the-haunted-barn.com. Finally, some news on Horror Hound Weekend. The 2013 Horror Hound Weekend will be happening March 22nd through the 24th at the Sharonville Convention Center, 11355 Chester Road in Cincinnati, Ohio, across the street from the Crown Plaza North. Special guests include cast members from The Walking Dead, including Norman Reedus, Sarah Wayne Callis, Chandler Riggs, Scott Wilson, Michael Rooker, and John Bernthal. There will be a live script reading from the cast of Holliston, including Dee Snider and Odorous Urungus from GWAR. Other guests include legendary director John Carpenter, Robert Patrick, Tony Todd, Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Karen Black, Tom Savini, Butch Patrick, Pat Priest, and many others. See The Real Christine and members from the movie, musical performances by the Coffin Cats and more, Joe Lyon, the Magician of the Living Dead, the Amazing Mr. Hamilton, the Burlesque Les Moustaches, and more. Don't miss the Q&A panels of House of a Thousand Corpses, Subspecies, The Walking Dead, Christine, Holliston, and more. If you're lucky, you just might catch a glimpse of the unknown scare actor lurking in the shadows and covering the event for the Big Scary Show. For more information, a complete guest roster, and schedule, visit www.horrorhoundweekend.com. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Shadow Symphony. Shadows Symphony. The Haunting of the Crowley House. Of the Crowley House. On the Big Scary Show. On the Big Scary Show.
321. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia, having a good time talking to all sorts of very, very interesting people and somebody that I grew up with as a kid, as hopefully you did, too. If you're a fan of, that little show they did back in the early 60s with a Frankenstein, a vampire, and some unidentifiable thing and the normal-looking lady, how can you forget the Munsters? And I'm talking with one of the stars of the Munsters, Mr. Butch Patrick. Yes, indeed, it is Eddie Munster himself, and the star of a lot of other TV-type shows and other things throughout the years. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I thought you were going to say the Addams Family. I was going to correct you.
I was tempted to say that just to see if I'd make you upset, but I don't want to upset you because, you know, hey, you're a big star. So tell me a little bit, and I'm sure you've heard this question 100,000 times. You're a child. How does somebody get the role cast as an Eddie Munster type role?
Well, it helps to have been an actor prior to the Munsters. I did a year of the General Hospital, did a year of the Real McCoys, and have a good agent. And what happened was I was living in the Midwest, totally not even within 1,000 miles of Hollywood, and my agent got them to fly me out at the end with me and Yvonne DiCarlo to do a screen test because they were going to do a little bit of tweaking of the show at the last minute, and they inserted me and Yvonne into the show, and the rest is history.
Did they have somebody else in mind at first and it just didn't work out, and that's why you and Yvonne got the call, or how did that kind of work out?
They had a kid named Happy Derman in the pilot they'd come down to. Originally, they wanted Bill Mumy, and Bill didn't want to get under contract, and his mom didn't like the makeup angle, so that washed out.
That was Bill from Lost in Space.
Yes, yeah, Bill from Lost in Space, and then it wound up with the Happy Derman, and they weren't too happy about that, no pun intended, and Joan Marshall was playing a character named Phoebe as the mother, and they did a quick rewrite. They came up with another kid, me, and they brought in Lily and Yvonne DiCarlo, who was legitimately the biggest name on the show at the time.
But Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis had, you know, other roles that they had done, Al Lewis, Car 54, and things like that, but it really seemed to take off. Their careers at least seemed to take off after the Munsters.
Yeah, they were TV actors from New York. They were, like you say, Car 54. But Yvonne DiCarlo was a bona fide movie star. She had been a star for quite a while. And she was one of the first movie stars to get into television way before Liz Taylor did General Hospital, you know.
Very, very, very neat. So you do the con circuit on a regular basis, or is this considered a, quote, really special occasion? Or how often do you get out to meet and greet the fans?
Well, an interesting thing about the Munsters, and I'm really lucky in that respect, is the Munsters falls into several genres. I do a lot of car shows, which I love cars and hot rods because of the cool cars we had. I do a lot of straight autograph shows simply because of the longevity of the show. I do horror sci-fi shows because of the nature of we were based on the Universal Monsters. I do comic book shows because we're heavily merchandised. I do toy shows. Literally, I do tattoo shows. There's so many people running around with Munster tattoos on them that I can go to 3 or 4 different types of shows a year, but there's 6 different genres, which then adds up to 20 or 30 appearances. And so, we always have a big Halloween.
I can only imagine the request your agent must get for Halloween appearances. So you said earlier about the cars and about the comic books and everything like that. When people come up to you, is it primarily just Eddie Munster? Or, I mean, you had a movie career that, you know, you've done, you know, I was looking at your IMDb page just today, and I've noticed you've played, like, werewolves and lots of other roles. You were in Sid Marty Krofft's Lidsville, which absolutely terrified me as a kid. You know, Charles Nelson Reilly as Hoodoo, just anyway, but when you were my age at that time. Yeah. And still, you know, I don't know what kind of things they were taking when they were writing those shows, but, boy, something had to have been going on. But what do people most, I mean, I'm guessing most people identify you as Eddie Munster, but do people come up with other merchandise from other movies or other shows that you've been on?
I signed some lobby cards from other movies. Believe it or not, the Phantom Tollbooth, which was a Chuck Jones movie in 1967, animated movie, 68, based on a mandatory reading book at school. I get a lot of people that say, I love that book. I didn't know you were Milo. That comes up occasionally.
You were Milo.
I was Milo.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was Milo.
Holy cow.
And then the Lidsville stuff comes up, and then a lot of people remember me from My Three Sons. I did 17 episodes as Ernie's best friend, 3 different characters in 3 different years.
You were kind of the Cousin Oliver of that show. You just kind of popped in and be like,
he
looks familiar, but wait, he's not the same guy.
And it was interesting because 1 year I'd have short hair, and then next year I'd have long hair and this and that. But mostly, you know, everything was based around Eddie. I did a year of the Real McCoys prior to the Munsters. I did a year of General Hospital when I was really young. So literally in my 10 years of acting from 60 to 71, I did 4 major series, which is pretty good.
That's really good. Are you retired from acting at this point? Do you primarily make your living doing the con circuit, or do you still occasionally do a role or a voiceover or things like that?
I do act, but I don't go actively pursuing auditions or interviews. I have people contact me occasionally and send me a script. I actually have a Dr. Orb. I play a Dexter-type killer upcoming movie. It's going to star me and Ellen Foley from Night Court. They brought in Julie McCullough from Growing Pains. They got Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. They got a couple of the Brady kids. And this will be that they're advertising it as Butch Patrick as you've never seen him before, because I play a killer, which I've never done that before. So that ought to be fun.
Do you think that will shatter some of the stereotypes that people have kind of typecast you in?
You know, honestly, it's interesting. I just haven't acted in so long that I'm looking forward to it just to see, number one, if I still have it. And number two, I read the script. I'm pretty sure I can handle it. But the main thing is if people have a lot of interest in my career now, in the last few years, I straightened my life out. I got clean and sober. It's been over 2 years now.
So. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I had cancer. I survived cancer. I survived the 60s. And now it's time to sort of give back a little bit. And a lot of that has to do with becoming more visible to people, because you can do a lot more good when you're sober and high profile.
Sure. This may be a delicate subject, hope it's not, but as a child actor, mm-hmm. and you kind of followed into the footsteps of a lot of child actors by running into, shall we say, dark problems in later life, but you have overcome those. Have you ever considered becoming an advocate for that, or talking to people who now have child stars? You know, there's this whole Walking Dead, and there's all these new shows that have a whole slew of new child stars that you might say, well, you know, don't let that happen to me. What happened to me happened to your child or to you or anything like that.
Well, Paul Peterson has an organization called A Minor Consideration and just celebrated his 20th anniversary. He took that on. He's a huge activist and an advocate for that reason. I am a member of his board. So whenever I'm called upon, I'm more than happy to talk to people. Brandon Cruz, who from the Courtship of Eddie's Father, and I have been friends since 1968. He's now a counselor with Beverly Hills 180. Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair, who's with my same agency, he's got 12 years sober. He's a counselor as well. So what we do, a combination of the sobriety is one thing, but the talking about the business is another. And yes, I'm not probably the best person to speak that way, but I certainly do if called upon.
Wonderful. That's another way to quote unquote give back to the community,
yes.
I
yep.
guess. So, and serving on a board like that is certainly a noble thing.
Thank you,
Eddie and the Monsters. Any chance for a reunion and a world tour of that?
You know, I've had people come up and say, "Oh, I saw you on stage. You guys were really good." We never performed. We were a studio band. We wanted to make rock videos. We were the first unsigned act to go on to MTV, which then they created the Basement Tapes. So in a way, I feel that I did some good for some unknown bands to get some notoriety. And I like to tell people I was the original Munster Manili. I was faking the bass. I was faking the singing. But I did play. I did write the lyrics.
That's so cool. Anything on the horizon for Butch Patrick? You know, there's rumors that you might be traveling to HauntCon in Fort Worth, Dallas area.
Yes.
Maybe. Any other cons? I know Days of the Dead has a show in Los Angeles and Chicago and Indianapolis, plus other cons around the country.
Yep.
Anything like that coming up?
Horror Hound will be the third week in March, and that's in Lexington, Kentucky, I believe. Cincinnati. I'm going to do Fandom Fest the end of July in Lexington. My birthday, I'll be turning 60. They want to have a big bash there.
Childhood is ruined.
Yeah.
We
all get old. I don't feel I don't look it, but I am.
You really don't. I mean, for a person who's had the life that you have, you don't. You certainly do not look 60.
Yeah,
there are actors here under 60 that look older than you.
I wear T-shirts, you know, and I run around in Vans, but I feel young, and I feel much better than I did. The last few years, I've really lost about maybe 30 or 40 pounds.
Congrats, I'm trying.
And my and I look about 10 years younger. But, yeah, there's we have a St. Louis. There's a con in St. Louis, which is a haunt con for the industry.
Transworld?
March
7th through 10th.
That's it.
You're going to be at Transworld.
Yeah, with Gunnar Hansen.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I just heard today that Gunnar was going to be there. I had not heard your name mentioned.
Yeah.
I'll be at Transworld as well. So you'll have to...
Paul Johnson from Atrox, a big haunted house down in Birmingham. I appeared with Lisa Loring a few years ago when he called me and asked me to do it, and I happened to have the date open. And now, hopefully, with the Munster Mansion down in Waxahachie showing some interest in wanting to have some people come down, I may go to do haunt. I talked to the gentleman who runs Haunt World, and I tried to smooth things over, so hopefully I'll be there.
That brings up one last question. Do you travel to haunted attractions during the season to meet and greet fans as well? If an Aatrox or the Darkness or another world or something, or even Mom and Pop's Scary Haunted Trail wanted to call you and said, I want you to come down and sign autographs.
Last year, I actually started off my tour with a Mom and Pop in Akron, Ohio, which they just had a haunted garage for MS. Had a huge turnout, had a really good stuff. From that led to some Halloween outlets, which led to Spirit, which led to a convention here, a movie theater there, and a little bit of everything, like five different stops and five different genres all over the country. But yeah, it's always a good time, and I do not try to always focus on the big ones or the little ones. I just try to see what's the best ones.
Sure. And again, you're more of a family-friendly type of actor as opposed to a Leatherface or a Jason or something like that, that are also appearing at cons like this. So for anybody that wants to know your upcoming con schedule or upcoming appearances, maybe you have a Facebook or a Twitter feed or a website, what would those be?
Basically, Butch Patrick on Facebook or Butch Patrick 2, T-O-O, which is my second page, Munsters.com, and Twitter, BP Munster.
BP Munster on Twitter. Well, Butch Patrick, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to one of my childhood heroes. I have grown up loving your show, as well as that other one with the family name at the end of it. Well, we won't mention that here. I don't think there's any guest stars here appearing. And again, Lidsville, again, terrified me as a kid. And to this day, I still don't watch horror movies. And that probably had something to do with it. But again, I wish you nothing but success. Congratulations on the sobriety, on all the charitable and philanthropic projects you're working on at this point, plus your upcoming con appearance where hopefully somebody will come and get a picture with a living legend. And I gotta ask, were you a vampire?
A werewolf.
You were a werewolf. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I've still had running debates with people as, was he a vampire? Well, his mom was a Frankenstein, or his dad was a Frankenstein, his mom was, what is he?
Yeah, it's like on The Simpsons. How in the heck did you ever become a werewolf? You know, Apu had it all.
And you have played a werewolf in a couple of films.
Yeah, I did one, a couple werewolf scenes where one was, I can't even remember the name of it recently, the creature meets,
Frankenstein versus the creature from Blood Lake.
Yes, thank you, from Blood Lake.
Yeah, and I'm really ashamed that I actually know that, but that's really
good.
I think I wrote it in some of my notes here. I'll have to go back and take a look.
By the way, I have a Lidsville picture for it. I have all these Munster pictures out, but I'm going to sign you a Lidsville picture.
Oh, you are too sweet. Yeah, I'm going to get some sleep tonight.
Good deal. Yeah.
But anyway, Butch Patrick, thank you very much for taking time to speak to the Big Scary Show here at Days of the Dead in Atlanta. My name is Drew Badger, sitting next to one of my idols, and I am out.
Are you a fan of the alternative lifestyle? Do you like horror films and gaming reviews? How about Drop Dead Gorgeous Ladies? If you answered yes, then you need to check out Stiff Mag. Stiff Mag is a bi-monthly horror, alternative culture, and entertainment publication that features our horror film reviews, our tech from the crypt, and graveyard gaming features, killer reading, literary features, music reviews, columns, and of course our beautiful graveyard girls. For subscription information, visit stiffmag.com. That's stiffmag.com.
Back to the Big Scary Show, ladies and gentlemen. We all know what time it is. It is convention time. Transworld is in full swing. And of course, this is the Round Table of Terror. And because Transworld is in full swing, we thought we'd make some random calls to somebody who's actually vending at Transworld, and we found out vending at Transworld for the very first time. Although this person has vended at many, many other cons over the years, no real stranger to the industry, and we know you have seen their products in haunted attractions all around the world. If you've seen those really cool changing portraits that change from like a cute, adorable baby to a demon hell spawn, then you're probably familiar with Dark Imaginings, and our guest tonight is Craig Hines, all the way over in Pittsburgh. Craig, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Absolutely. We love talking to you. You're a good guy. We've met you over the years at various conventions. And by we, I mean the other four motley band of ghosts for the Big Scary Show, including Storm.
Greetings from still snowy New England. We got more today.
The unknown scare actor.
If you want to see The Walking Dead, check me out after this interview because I've been up for almost 36 hours.
Wow. All the way out in Las Vegas, the haunt rocker Jerry Vane.
No, that is not snow falling from the ground. It's cocaine.
My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte, where we finally got some snow around here. It's finally winter for at least 2 days anyway. This is the Roundtable of Terror. We have Craig Hines from Dark Imaginings on the phone with us. And Craig, I'll just throw out the first question, as I always seem to be in that position to do so. How did you kind of get started in this industry, and how did you kind of work your way up into finally taking the plunge and vending at Transworld?
Well, as far as specifics about getting into the industry, for years, I'd always been, loving monster movies ever since I was little. And so I grew up doing a lot of artistic work and, drawing monsters, watching horror movies, everything like that. Obviously, Halloween was my favorite holiday. And so then, going through high school and eventually college and everything, looking at different options for what I wanted to do for a career. And originally I had intended to go into video game design, and so I had a lot of training and background in that. But unfortunately, the area where I live, there aren't too many video game companies out here. And I was on the track to get hired at one, but then that fell through and the company ended up closing within just a few months. And I had to make a decision about, well, do I keep doing this, which means I might have to travel to far across the country, like mainly out west, or there's some further along like the coastline on the east for video game companies. And I decided instead of doing that I would just set up my own company. So I set up my own graphic design company, and I did a lot of artwork and websites and things like that for clients for various purposes and things, and it just sort of naturally grew out of that. I love doing all the horror and Halloween themed things, so whenever I realized that, wait, I could actually just be focusing on that instead of trying to compete with every other web designer, every other graphic designer for all sorts of, generic type projects, I could try and focus on the niche of just the haunt industry. So back in 2007, I decided to launch Dark Imaginings, and some of the first things that we started producing were the Changing Lenticular Portraits. And actually, at the time, I wasn't quite aware that there were a few other people doing those things, but as I was doing the research and what I needed to do for it, I came across some other vendors that were creating those kinds of portraits. But and I had to come to a decision about, well, do I do this or do I, just focus on some other areas because there's some other, people and I don't want to be necessarily intruding on their turf. Well, I looked at it and said, I can still add my own unique flair, create my own characters and my own stories and things. So I decided to go ahead and create the custom, Changing Lenticular Portraits that are our own style. And so people can tell a difference whenever they look at ours and they look at other ones. You can tell there's a different artist, and we get a lot of positive feedback, and we've done a lot of custom portraits too over the years, so people really like us for doing that. And then I just slowly expanded. Like I said, I had already been doing website designs and things like that for other people, but it just sort of naturally grew out of the company, starting with the portraits and then starting to offer website design services and graphic designs for logos and visual effects. We do all sorts of animated effects, talking characters, radio commercials, television commercials, things like that. So it's piece by piece, I slowly started adding more and more services over the years and vending at a lot of small conventions and horror shows and things like that, where you're more one-on-one with just the general public and selling direct to them. And then we would start expanding more into the trade shows, focusing more specifically on the haunt industry. And, so doing shows like Haunt Con and Midwest Haunters and the National Haunters Convention. And so this year, you know, we'd been holding off. We really wanted to do Transworld the last few years, but it's just as a small vendor, I mean, it's just myself and my wife, and primarily most of the business all is myself. So it gets expensive to do a big show like Transworld and factoring in everything that is involved. So we held off in the past few years and decided to ride it out, especially with the way the economy was. And I think that paid off because we've been able to slowly build the company up and build some recognition. And so now whenever we take the plunge and do a big show like Transworld, we're already recognized, we're already established. And so it's not, we don't run the risk of being overlooked like someone that has never appeared at a haunted trade show before.
So when people show up at your events, are they primarily talking about your portraits? Or are they talking about looking for your web design work? What is what's the mix of what people are looking for as a vendor?
That's actually all over the place. It really depends on if it's just a general, you know, public customer who might be like a home haunter or something. If they're a home haunter, then they're usually interested in our changing portraits, because they don't necessarily have all the money in the budget for some of our more involved services, like with the website designs and things like that. Although we do offer packages that are suitable for like a home haunter budget. But a lot of them are really interested because they want to have something unique for their haunt. They want to show, you know, family photos or something that transition and turn into monsters. So for a lot of the changing portraits, we get a lot of home haunters or just Halloween enthusiasts, people that really want a creepy portrait of themselves. What I find is with a lot of the haunted attractions, they come to us more for the website designs or for animation and visual effects, or if they need a commercial produced, whether it's for radio or for television. So a lot of times they're coming to us more for the professional services like that.
Do you tend to get busier closer to the season, or is it kind of steady all the way through when it comes to orders, whether it be from haunts or otherwise?
I try to actually keep it busy throughout most of the year if I can. However, there's definitely a big upswing in the projects that come in and everything. Usually by the end of June into July, I start having people contact me. Oftentimes with projects that I'm like, oh, I wish you would have contacted me back in March so we could start on this to give it the proper time that it needs. But usually by July, there's a big upswing. And then by August, I still have more people contacting me. Some of them I have to turn away. Some of them I have to juggle around the schedules and things to try and see, like, okay, I can get this done. I have to push this one up, push this one back a little bit. Just like last year, I was doing a few different website designs all at once. I had 5 custom portraits that I had to do, some for customers, some were for a television show out in Chicago. They wanted it for their Halloween special. I had to do a television commercial, a radio commercial, 2 T-shirt designs, and it was getting crazy, and all that was coming in like August, and that was with already a pre-existing workload. So it does definitely get busier as we get closer to the haunt season. But usually, things like the custom portraits and things like that, I get orders throughout the year, so that still comes in periodically. And I usually tell people, if you want it in time for Halloween, contact me no later than the end of June, because by then, like I said, July, it just starts getting crazy. And probably the longest I've gone is 3.5 days without sleep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Now, with that many orders, do you guys have a fairly reasonable turnaround time on it, or is it just kind of get more and more? What is your average turnaround time for your orders, just out of curiosity?
Well, for, like, say, a custom portrait, we usually tell everyone 6 to 8 weeks from the time that we sit down. We get all, like, the photographs submitted from the customer, and we go over, like, we draw up some sketches to feel out for what they want, and they approve the sketch. So I allot 6 to 8 weeks. It's usually less time than that. Some of the fastest portraits I've done have been done in just a week's time. But again, it greatly depends on what the existing workload is at the time. Also what the customer is willing to pay. Obviously if it needs to be done right away and it means I have to bump another project, sometimes I'll have to charge a little bit more for that. So it depends on when people contact me and exactly how involved the project is. You know, a portrait with just one person isn't as involved as one with three people in it. So it always depends on what all the client wants and what the deadline is.
You've used the term lenticular portraits, and I'll be honest, I'm married to an English major, and I've never heard the term lenticular before. What exactly does that mean? And, you know, you're talking about custom portraits. Are your custom portraits all Halloween related, or can somebody say, I need something for a wedding or something Christmassy or something like that? But I'd be real curious to know what lenticular is.
Well, lenticular, that's referring to the type of lens that is applied over the photographs. Essentially what it is the technology's been around for a long time. A lot of people might be familiar with, like, Cracker Jack's box, you know, the little toys or trading cards, things like that, baseball cards that used to have whenever children, that whenever you turn them, the image changes and like a baseball player swinging a bat or something like that. So they're sort of novelty items that a lot of people are familiar with. And as far as the lens that goes over top of the pictures, essentially what I have to do is I take the photograph that somebody sends to me. And like I said, I create the sketches, get them to approve the sketches for what the final design will be, and then I go and I create all the alterations and all the artwork and everything digitally. And then we have to run it through a special software that processes the images, so you have at least two images, sometimes three, sometimes even more, but usually we stick to 2 to 3 images to produce the best result. And what this software does is it looks at all the images involved and then slices up the images into tiny little ribbons. And then it generates this output image that's a composite of all of them at once. And so whenever I print that out, you see all the images, little slices of them. And what we have to do for our custom portraits is we hand laminate this special lenticular lens over top. And this lens has these little slivers going down. They're sort of like, they're a little bit rounded, but it's like, imagine a triangle, like tiny little triangular lenses, but long strips of them. And basically what they do is they reflect the light in at different angles. So whenever you overlay these lenses on top of the slices of the image and you have just one lens lines up with each little slice, then it only shows you that part of the image at a time. So that's why these images, the portraits that we create are all based on your viewing angle. They don't need any special lighting or electricity or anything like that. It's all based on your viewing angle. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of dedication and hard work to do this. It's not something that most people just throw together, you know, without, you know, any effort. You know, a lot of the equipment is expensive, the software and stuff like that. And so, like I said, what we do is we hand laminate these lenses over top. And so you have to be a certain distance away from it, because if you're too close, your viewing angle is going to be off and things like that. So there's a lot that goes into it. But basically, once this lens is laminated over top, the little slivers only reveal one portion of the image at a time. And so as you walk past it, the angle changes of how the lens is reflecting the light. And so it only shows you each portion of the image as you're walking past.
Okay, and the other question was kind of the custom work. Do you do non-Halloween custom work and things?
We can, although the majority of the work that I've done is all haunt or horror related. But yeah, we can. Like, if we wanted to, I know I have seen some people that do things like, say they take a photo of a couple whenever they're younger, and then for say like their 50th anniversary, take a photo of them, and then they sort of morph the two photos together so it changes over time, or they'll do it with say a family pet or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I can do any of that. It's just a whole lot more fun to do the haunt stuff, and that's what a lot of people want, because at least for my customer base, because they like the idea of, there's almost sort of a built-in spook factor just because of the idea of the changing portrait itself. You know, so yeah, you could do a nice little photo of grandma and grandpa showing them young and whenever they're old. And it looks nice, but said there's just something, it's like the unsuspecting nature of, oh, you're looking at a photo there and it turns into something else, just is begging to scare people. So that's a lot of people, whenever they find out that they can get their own custom portrait, they really want to do something like that, because they get a thrill out of trying to spook people.
Now, with Transworld being, you know, the big one out there, and most of the vendors that, you know, that only vend at Transworld, they may not necessarily bring a huge inventory because they're basically taking orders. When you travel at cons, you know, when I saw you at HauntCon last year, you did not have a huge inventory. Do you have a lot of old stock photos that you'll be taking or planning on taking, or are you primarily looking more at, you know, bring me a photo and I'll transform it for you?
Okay, well, as far as the custom portraits, yeah, it's always based on whatever a customer supplies to us. As far as inventory goes for, like, our existing pre-made portraits that we sell to the public, I do carry a small inventory, but, like I said, a lot of these, they're actually all of them, are all made by hand. So the lenses, you know, they can get expensive. It takes time to make them. Sometimes you have some that get messed up, and so they still might be good enough to sell as, like, a seconds that, you know, just at a discounted price or something. And other times I just have to trash it because it got, you know, it's too messed up that I just don't want to do it. Or maybe during the trimming process it got scratched or something. But so we do keep generally a small inventory on us. Just because of the expense that it takes in creating them, especially every time that if I come out with a new design, what we usually offer are 5x7s, 8x10s, 11x14s, and 16x20s. So unless I'm going to limit a design to only one or two specific sizes, if I expect to have that in all four sizes, then I have to figure out, okay, for each new portrait I make, I have to have this many lenses in each stock, and these ones are bestsellers, so we need to have so many in stock of these. So whenever we're doing a lot of the other shows, we do carry with us a small inventory. And we do sell out, and in that case, if we sell out, we'll still take orders and then offer, you know, shipping or some other discounted price or whatever to compensate for that. But actually what we'll be doing at Transworld this year is mainly taking orders, just because, like I said, with all the additional expense and everything, it makes more sense. It's still early enough in the season that we can be taking orders and have time to ship the products out and everything like that.
But you will be doing some cash and carry.
Some, but probably very minimal for at least right now. We'll have some of our existing inventory. It's one of those things where it's a little, being a first-time vendor, I'm not entirely sure what to expect there. But from some of, like, the exhibitor manuals and things that I was reading, it makes it sound like they don't want us to store any, like, necessarily extra inventory or extra boxes and stuff like that back behind the booth, which, I mean, I can understand for fire hazards and things like that. But it also means, like, well, what do I do? How much do I bring to the booth? How much do I have to hold back because, you know, I don't have any place to store any backup there, stuff like that. We're going to have our car is going to be parked at the hotel, so I can't exactly run to the car every time we need something. You know, so it's just we decided to just keep things simple, try to keep our booth minimal with the amount of stuff that we have there, so people aren't you know, looking at a whole big mess of stuff laying out, and what we'll do is have our portraits on display, and we'll be taking primarily orders. We may do a little bit of the cash and carry, but like I said, it's one of those, we'll have everything on display, and so if people want to order, we'll be offering incentives to make it up to them, so it's not just cash and carry, and so they'll still get their order, and we'll definitely get it out in time for them for the haunt season.
Craig, what else are you expecting to come away from Transworld with? Are you looking, you know, to also be networking, to inspiration for where your product needs to go? Is there something in the back of your head that's going just from the vendor aspect that you want to take away from Transworld?
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, networking is always a huge part of doing any of these shows. In fact, I mean, that's the majority. I mean, obviously, whenever you do the shows, one of your primary goals is to make money so that you can keep your business running. But oftentimes we've found that even, you know, if we do a smaller show or something and maybe it wasn't that great sales-wise, and maybe we were lucky that, you know, we broke even, 2 months, 3 months, maybe even more down the line, we might still get a sale out of it, or someone will come to us because they remember seeing us at the show, or they talk to somebody that met us at the show, and they remember, like, hey, yeah, I did want a custom portrait, or, oh, yeah, they do websites, too. So the networking is just as much a part of it that we want to do, because obviously we know from past experiences that the networking can greatly help doing a show, even whenever it wasn't, say, monetarily satisfactory. You can still, it can help pay back, you know, months later if you do it right. And, you know, other things too, like one of the things that we'll be doing at the booth is we're going to have Victor Barreto at the booth. Victor, you know, I know he's been on the show before, and a lot of people know him from the documentary The American Scream and from being around at other cons and things like that, and his home haunt, Ghoulie Manor, which he's now turned to a pro haunt. And he had contacted me last year about, you know, designing a logo for him, designing the website, some other services and things. And so he decided to use our services whenever he transitioned to a pro haunt. And so we had a really good client, you know, relationship with that. And we've become very good friends. And I told him, you know, it'd be really nice if, you know, if he's going to be at Transworld anyway, have him actually appear at our booth, and people can come up and talk to him about his experience, you know, if they want to actually, you know, or they're thinking about turning from a home haunt to a pro haunt, they can sort of, you know, ask him questions about his experiences, what he recommends, ask a first-hand experience from him as a customer, what, you know, how he liked dealing with us. From a business point of view, if we did everything satisfactorily. I think that that speaks more than somebody coming up and me telling you, hey, we can give you a great deal on this website, we have great services and everything, but, you know, it means a lot more whenever it's actually coming from a customer.
We're talking with Craig Hines from Dark Imaginings here on the Roundtable of Terror and the Big Scary Show. We're going to take a really quick break for a very important message, and we will be right back.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more.
All right, we're back here on the Roundtable of Terror. Our guest this time is Craig Hines, Dark Imagining, a first-time Transworld vendor. Ironically enough, the Big Scary Show will also be a first-time Transworld vendor. He is the owner of Dark Imaginings, these custom creepy portraits that change things. But that's not the only thing you do. I understand recently you just wrote a kind of an interesting book on the paranormal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, well, sure. Although I won't. It's not recent. I published that book back in 2007.
So recent in geological times, how's that?
Yes. Geologically speaking. But yes, the book is called Gateway of the Gods. So if you know, some of your listeners may have listened to other shows like Coast to Coast AM or Darkness on the Edge of Town, also known as Darkness Radio. I've appeared on those shows before to speak about the book and the topics covered, which is something, it gets into a lot of ancient theological studies, ancient biblical texts, different texts surrounding that, so looking at the other cultures, the Sumerians, the Akkadians, Babylonians, Egyptians. It even looks at like the Mesoamericans and the Celts and things. So it's really sort of a world study of world mythology and connecting the dots between a lot of the ancient legends regarding what a lot of the cultures referred to as the original fallen angels. And there's a lot of speculation, and there's television programs and things out there nowadays called, like, Ancient Aliens and things like that, where they speculate that, oh, well, if this really happened, maybe the mythology was that it was really aliens that were coming to visit people and stuff. And what I'm primarily known for is taking a skeptical attitude of that. Like, and I am very skeptical about a lot of these things. Just because I'm writing about these topics doesn't mean that I 100% endorse, you know, talking about, you know, well, yes, I definitely believe that fallen angels came to the earth. I go, well, no, I think that there might be something to it, that there was some sort of experience, and maybe, and I said, if you start examining the different texts and things, you find that there could have actually been something that happened. Whether or not it was, you know, a one-to-one, you know, equivalent of what is described in the ancient text, that's up for debate, and why you need to start cross-referencing and looking at other cultures and what they speak about, and everything. But so that's primarily what the book was doing, was debunking a lot of the nonsense out there regarding theories and things, whether it's paranormal or pseudoscientific, dealing with, you know, ancient alien theories and things like that, looking at that evidence, evaluating it, if it didn't hold up, dismissing it, examining why it shouldn't be considered legitimate, and then going back to the text saying, this is what the text actually says, this is what we can trace with the etymology of certain languages, and just following this trail of all the information, and then tying it into modern day with speculation about like modern theoretical quantum physics and the idea of a multiverse and hyperspace and superstring theory, that there, our universe could be filled with, you know, many different dimensions, some existing just a millimeter away from us, and we wouldn't be able to perceive it with our current senses, but the mathematics suggests that there could actually be these other dimensions existing around us. And if so, and let's just hypothetically say that these other dimensions were inhabited by higher dimensional beings, well, it starts to sort of sound like what was described in a lot of the ancient texts, where it talks about angels coming from heaven to earth, and they used gateway devices to translate themselves from a heavenly spiritual form to one that would be compatible with the earthly dimension. In fact, where the book gets its title is from the literal meaning of the word Babylon. It was Bab-El, which whenever you break it down, Bab meant gate or gateway, and El was a shortened form of El, Elim, Elohim, which was a word for God or gods. So Babylon literally meant gateway of the gods. And what they would describe was that the reason that they built all these ancient pyramid structures, the ziggurats, the pyramids, things, were that these were supposed to house these gateway devices where the gods would appear at the top and come from heaven to earth. And then more times than not, they would get a little naughty with some of the women of earth. And so that's what a lot of the religions and things were born from, was basically these people worshiping these beings that they referred to as gods and intermarrying with them and things like that. So that's it. It goes over a lot of the ancient theology and just considers the possibility of, if it were true, what sort of evidence should we be looking for? How might we go about trying to prove this? what other information is out there that we need to dismiss or consider like a false trail. So like I said, it's light reading. You know, the ancient biblical theology mixed with theoretical quantum physics, throw in a little dash of paranormal investigation with, you know, the idea of electronic voice phenomena. If that is actually happening, is that picking up voices of these entities and things from parallel universes existing just right beside us that we don't normally perceive?
Craig, do you ever attend any paranormal cons and try to vend with your book, or?
Yeah, actually, I have. I did a lot of that starting back around like 2007, whenever I first published the book. Obviously, because it was new and I was trying to promote it, and I do some of the paranormal conferences and things like that on occasion. Not nearly as often as I used to. Also because I don't do as many of the radio interviews, and the haunt business keeps me quite busy a majority of the time. But, yeah, I still get asked from time to time. It's one of those things, though, where, to be perfectly honest, there are times where I might turn down a show because I don't want to cause too much disruption, because I know that some people, whenever they go to these conferences and things like that, they want to hear certain speakers, they look up to these speakers, they like the topics and information that are being presented, and I don't feel that it's my role to essentially rain on their parade. If I'm there and I present information that is contrary to what another speaker is, I'll be perfectly honest and say, okay, this is what they're saying. This is why I don't think that this is legitimate. And I'll outline, you know, all the reasons why, and people can sort of make up their mind from there. But I don't really want to be that guy that just is always challenging everyone else. And, you know, I do it, but I guess it's part of the reason I've stopped doing, not stopped, but reduced the number of shows that I've done is because there's a growing prevalence with some of the people, and I don't always feel comfortable there so much because I feel like if I don't say anything and I just let the people, you know, say whatever they want, then I'm sort of in on it in that I'm letting people being taken advantage of. And I don't really want to do that, but at the same time, some people, they don't care. They feel that, you know, they read a book by so-and-so, and that is the truth. Even if I can show them 10 different ways of why that information is incorrect, you know, and that's just something that they have to decide for themselves.
Nobody wants to be that guy.
I've already been labeled that guy, you know, with a few choice words, but...
But getting back a little bit to Transworld, you should probably bring a couple of copies of that book. You know, they tie in so well. So many people are interested in the paranormal who are in the haunt industry. You know, I'd like to see a copy of this book. So, you know, you couldn't hurt you to bring one or two. You might get a little interest on that.
Well, we usually do bring a few copies. We don't bring as many as we would for a conference or seminar where I'm speaking primarily about that. But, yeah, we do usually make sure to have a few copies on hand. And, you know, it is interesting with how many people there is the overlap in there because I know even just through online chatting with Ed Edmonds from Distortions Unlimited, he and I have exchanged some conversations, and we comment on things. He'll post something, I'll comment on it. And I remember the one time I started saying about, you know, the original story of Fallen Angels, this and that. And he was like, hey, you know, you're right. And he actually knew about some of that. And I said, oh, well, you know, by the way, I wrote a book. And he's like, really? I'd love to read that. So, you know, I told him about it. And, you know, he ordered a copy and sent it off to him. And I don't know if he's had a chance to finish it, but I know he was giving me little updates whenever he was reading, saying about, you know, how impressed he was with it.
Also, Craig, with doing the research and you're talking about the overlap with, you know, the haunt attraction industry and you know, the whole paranormal subject matter, is there something you found doing your research and the folklore and the different stories and just the concepts out there you think the haunt industry might not be taking the most advantage of, that there's something out there that can really, you know, invigorate a theme?
On the one hand, yes, I definitely agree. I think that there could be. In fact, I believe there was even a haunted attraction, and I could be mistaken on this. I want to say it was like Arx Mortis or something that might have actually incorporated some of the storyline about fallen angels referred to as the Grigori, which means the Watchers. Those were the original fallen angels, because I think their storyline involves something about, like, a secret society or a cult, and I could have sworn, because I was actually impressed, I'm like, wow, a haunt that actually involved the Grigori, you know, in their storyline. But I guess, especially whenever it comes to that, there are certain things, like, if you wanted to incorporate certain, like, Japanese mythology, you could probably do that with, you know, certain ghosts and things like that that wouldn't be as controversial as, say, a haunt trying to work in biblical narratives about fallen angels and things, because not only does that open up a can of worms as far as people with their theology studies, because, as I explained in my book, the original story about fallen angels is nothing at all like most people think. And the whole story about Lucifer / Satan rebelling against God and everything isn't actually in the Bible if you take time to read that. And so I go over and analyze the original story of these fallen angels. Well, some people might find that controversial, or if they did start incorporating stuff like that, then I guess it might start turning into a fine line between, is it a haunted house or is it a hell house? You know, whenever you start getting the biblical stuff in there. So I think with overall just paranormal studies in general, I think, yeah, I have toyed around with the idea of, you know, it'd be cool if someone was doing sort of ghost investigation type scenarios with the haunt, but there's also a double-edged sword to that. One, it's okay to do it if it was just for fun or for fantasy. But if you actually believe that you're doing something like that, because I know like some haunts will do stuff where they'll claim that, you know, their haunt's been investigated and it's actually legitimately haunted, and they'll host paranormal investigations and things like that there. The issue with that is, if you genuinely believe that it is haunted and there are ghosts there, is it exactly ethical to be doing that, calling in people saying about, oh yeah, hey, we got ghosts? Because if you're believing that those are the disembodied spirits of people that passed away, you're essentially running up to them and poking them with sticks and things and going, ha ha, do something for me, you know, speak, do this, do that. So there is sort of an ethical line. If you just want to do it from a pure fantasy point of view, you know, and work it into the storyline of the haunt about, oh, well, this has been investigated and maybe you might encounter something, you know, you can pick up some voices in a recording or whatever, that's fine. But like I said, it depends on, I guess, the haunt, the nature of the haunt, and the people involved as far as where they want to take that.
You mentioned a few moments ago that you're going to have Victor Barreto at your booth. We know Victor, known him for a long time, and we've been giving him lots of grief about him being on the show. You know, you remember at HauntCon last year when he had the camera crews following him around and everything. So is Victor going to be there with his posse, signing autographs and taking photo ops and everything? Or what is the whole purpose of him coming and hanging at your booth?
Well, Victor's going to be at the booth. I'm sure he'll be happy to sign autographs.
Giving him so much grief for this.
Yeah, and basically we thought it would be nice to have, since I've designed some of his merchandise, like, you know, designed his logo and his T-shirts and things like that, we can actually show that, hey, this is a T-shirt that I designed for him, and if, you know, you want to buy a Ghoulie Manor souvenir or something like that, you can do so. So we thought it would be a nice tie-in that way. And like I said, he can sign autographs, and he'll be there not the entire time of the show. Like, we're still scheduling, like, certain hours that he'll be there, because I want to make sure he gets, you know, to run around the show and have fun. But basically so that during certain times people can come up, and if they want to ask questions about, so what was it like with the filming experience, or what is it like, you know, what do you recommend for someone that wants to turn from a home haunt to a pro haunt? So we thought that would all be a very good tie-in. And as I mentioned earlier, I think that it also helps communicate more effectively to any potential clients of ours whenever they actually hear it coming from another client. So I can tell them about how great we are, what we do, and this and that, but I think it means more whenever it's actually coming from another client that's willing to say, hey, you know what, I really liked working with them, you know, here I am to say that. And one of the other things, actually tying in with like the T-shirts, what we're going to be debuting at Transworld, and as far as I know, other people have done this in other industries, but we'll probably be the first ones to do this for the haunted attraction industry, to my knowledge.
Is this breaking news?
Yes, it is. We will be debuting augmented reality applications, different services and things like that. So basically, like what we'll be showing is the T-shirt that I designed for Victor has the logo for the haunt and everything, and it has this Cthulhu creature that was worked into it. And he and I were talking about it, and I said, you know, it'd be really cool if we worked with augmented reality, and basically whenever somebody holds their phone up or a tablet device or something like that, and they're using the device's camera to look at that T-shirt, then tentacles will rip out of the shirt and like look like they're trying to grab you. So we're working with this new technology now to try and, you know, create a different set of services and things like that that not only create a wow factor for the haunts, but can help increase the sale of their merchandise and stuff. It's like, instead of just buying a souvenir T-shirt, I think a lot more people would really want to buy it if, like, it does something interactive, it does something really cool, something they've never seen before.
You got the wow factor just listing it for me. Holy moly.
I agree.
I'm like, man, I want to see this thing. I don't even have a tablet. I'm going to buy one just so I can see this thing.
Yeah, so that's something that's we've been working on it for several months now, and so we're still putting the finishing touches on it, but we want to have that ready to debut at Transworld. And like I said, as far as I know, no one else has done this for the haunt industry, so this will be a first.
That sounds cool.
Very. Any other questions for Craig? You know, the clock on the wall is ticking, and we're going to start winding this down. Anything? Storm, Unknown Scare Actor, Haunt Rocker, anything else?
No, I'm pretty much down. I got it down there.
What booth will you be at Transworld this year, your debut?
We will be at booth number 615. So it's a corner booth. You can come around. We'll have you'll notice us. We'll have a ton of custom portraits up. We'll have all of our regular portraits, but we'll also have a lot of custom portraits up to really show some of the different styles and things like that we can do. And then, like I said, of course, if you see Victor, yeah, which everyone knows Victor, so that'll be our booth.
Oh, we'll know Victor by the huge line of screaming teenage girls that'll be just eagerly awaiting to sign autographs and get a picture with them.
I already heard that MHC is having a throne installed in bus 2, so spots on each side for the girls to feed them grapes.
It's the Justin Bieber of the haunt industry.
Maybe somebody we know could design a shirt that says that. And maybe have a picture of Victor with a crown and a scepter. If only we knew somebody who could design a T-shirt.
I don't know. I might know someone. I'll have to make a few calls, okay?
I'm sure he would wear an X-large.
Okay.
And it would certainly beat the women's clothing he was wearing in the bar late Sunday night last year with the Alabama Firehouse crew. Or maybe we weren't supposed to mention that.
Not too late.
But anyway, the clock on the wall is winding down. Yes. We love you, Victor. Anyway, the clock is starting to wind down, so we definitely want to get you to this part of the show, which we affectionately call the plugs. For anybody looking for information about these lenticular portraits, maybe your book, maybe, you know, custom graphics work, and everything else Dark Imaginings does, how can they get a hold of you? Maybe check out what other cons you're attending. If you're not attending Transworld, let us know where you'll be the rest of the convention season.
Okay, sure. Well, obviously our website is darkimaginings.com. You can also type in paranormalportraits.com. That'll take you to our website and specifically to the area for the custom portraits and the changing portraits. So, you know, people can contact us about that. They can send in their own photographs, and we'll create a monstrified version of them. We also do a lot of other special effects, animated effects, commercials, things like that, website design. So feel free to contact us if you need any of those sorts of services. As far as the book, if you're interested in that, the website is gatewayofthegods.com. You can order it on there. You'll get a signed autographed copy shipped out to you. It's also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can even order it at your local bookstore if you'd prefer to do that. They're probably not going to have it on the shelf, but it's in the ordering system, so just let them know what book you'd like to order and ask for Gateway of the Gods, and they can get that in for you. Said we'll be at booth 615 for Transworld, and then we'll also be at Midwest Haunters Convention in June. We'll be at booth number 706. And that's all. You know, darkimaginings.com, gatewayofthegods.com. I'm Craig Hines, and I like making people into monsters.
Nice.
You there?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Something just faded out right there, so we'll do a little bit more creative editing there.
Leave me some more editing.
Yep, it's all fun. So anyway, Craig Hines, we want to thank you for coming on the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We'll give you a plug, as we'll give you all the plugs you need, and we'll plug ourselves. We'll be at booth 1343, 1343, so please come by and say hi. And if you can get Victor away from all the girls, send him over too. We'll chat with him as well. But anyway, I want to thank the four hosts for taking the time out of their very busy schedules. I know they're all foaming at the mouth to go watch The Walking Dead on Netflix or something like that. So we'll say thank you again to Storm.
Definitely changing portraits into awesomeness here.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
I'm going to go order a copy of that book right now.
Thank you.
Hard Rocker Jerry Vane.
I'm going to snag it from him when he's done.
My name is Drew Badger. This is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, and we'll be right back.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble, committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears.
Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com.
Couture. For the creatures of the night.
Greetings, haunters. It is now the weekend of May 9th, And if you're fortunate enough to be at Transworld, I'm not. But that's okay. Badger's holding down the fort. I will actually be attending a convention in Somerset, Kentucky called the Dead Winter Horror and Paranormal Con. Wish I could see you all at Transworld, but I'll see a lot of you at Midwest. Anyway, let's go on to the fourth of five basic fears. And the fourth in this series of five basic fears is separation. The fear of abandonment, rejection, and loss of connectedness, of becoming a non-person, not wanted, respected, or valued by anyone else. The silent treatment, when imposed by a group, can have a devastating psychological effect on the targeted person. Separation also feeds into this thing when you've got people in the haunt and you split them up. They immediately go into panic mode. As an actor, you should know this, and if not, learn it. Badger and I teach things about this. Anyway, think about that. Fear of abandonment, rejection, being cut off from everything. This basic fear can mold itself into several different phobias, so you can use this, again, to your advantage, or if you suffer from this, somebody like me is going to use it to our advantage. That's it for this week, Haunters. Next show will be the fifth in the five-part series, and the title of it is called Ego Death. Death. I kind of like that.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something. Prelude to a Night. Dark Lullaby. On the Big Scary Show. Thank you.
All right, it's time for Transworld, and we have your ability to win prizes from Desmade Designs. And we're doing it with Transworld Bingo. Print out or get your Transworld Bingo card from Desmade Designs, Big Scary Show websites, or from our Facebook pages, or come by and see our booths at the show. You'll be able to go through, check off the tasks as you complete them, hand them in to booth 227, and be entered to win an awesome prize. Transworld Bingo, see you there.
And hello, everybody. It is the Big Scary Show, and as we do every month, it's time for the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios, where each month we have the opportunity to give away a fabulous prize just for listening to the show. You know how this works. We ask a question on the air or on our website. You answer that question, email it to us at contest@bigscaryshow, and if you're the right answer, or even if you're not, you might just get a phone call from us where you have the opportunity to come on the air and answer the question. And I believe we have a potential winner on the line now. Potential winner, what is your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Steve Gill, and I am from 100 Acres Manor, and I work at Fright Props.
100 Acres Manor, that's Pittsburgh, correct?
Yeah, that's Pittsburgh, PA.
That is a great haunt. I have been there on several occasions, know several people up there. I don't believe we've ever met, but that's a great haunt. Congratulations for working up there. Love that place. And visited there at HauntCon last year. But I digress.
Yes.
Steve, you know how this works. You answered or you emailed in a possible answer to the Gruesome Giveaway. And
okay.
In just a moment, we're going to be asking you what that question is. Or what that answer is. But first, I have a question or two for you. Number one, have I contacted or has the Big Scary Show contacted you in any way, shape, or form prior to the contest being over except to have you call in?
No, you have not.
And number two, have you sent us money, jewelry, dancing girls, or any way, shape, or form influenced our decision on this?
No, not at all.
Excellent. Well, we know how this works, folks. I am now going to ask the question. If I recall it correctly, it had something to do with Shane Dabbs telling us what he thought the creepiest movie to date is. Do you know what that is?
I believe I have the answer. Is it The Howling?
I believe you are correct. Congratulations to Steve Gild of Pittsburgh, PA, 100 Acre Manor, Fright Pops, all that good stuff. You have just won yourself a meat mangler prop courtesy of Screamline Studios, our very fine sponsor at screamlinestudios.com. Congratulations on that once again. If you've got anything to plug, like 100 Acre Manor or anything else, feel free to give us a website or two.
That's www.100acresmanor.com.
Acresmanor.com, as I said, a very fine haunt. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you, sir.
So anyway, Steve Gild, if you'll hold on the line for just a couple of seconds, we'll get a little bit of mailing addresses out to you. Once again, congratulations for winning the February edition of the Big Scary Show's Gruesome Giveaway.
Oh, thank you.
Verse 13. The Asylum Speak on the Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. It's convention time and conference time, and we're a smack dab in the middle of the season here, and the Big Scary Show is dedicated to bringing you every single convention that we can get our hands on. And one that we were not able to get to last year, we might be able to get to this year, who can say at this point, is the National Haunters Convention, which is being held in Oaks, Pennsylvania, kind of near Philly, you might say. And we want to talk to one of the organizers or one of the owners of it, and we've got Michael Bruner on the line. Michael, are you there?
I am here, sir. Hello, Big Scary Show.
Good to have you on the line. For people who are not quite aware or have heard about it but have never had a chance to go, what is the National Haunters Convention?
The National Haunters Convention is an event held at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Pennsylvania. It's really a haunters convention, maybe over 100 vendors, but what makes it special is it's like a great big old family reunion. The basis of the convention has always been like a big family picnic, and it's grew from a picnic in my backyard to what it is today, and that feeling is maintained. So not only do haunters go to buy products, but it's an excellent place to just socialize and interact with your peers. And that's one of the things I love most about our event is how many people say it's just so comfortable and how much they just feel relaxed there. So I'm very proud of that.
I remember way back in the day, you used to be known as the Eastern Haunters Convention, and then maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, you changed your name to National. How did you kind of come to become the National Haunters Convention from the Eastern Haunters Convention?
Well, before that, before the Eastern Haunters Convention, we were the PA Gathering of Haunters. And that's the name of the event when it was being held at our church and in my backyard. So as the size of the event has progressed and gotten larger and larger and larger, we felt the need to change our name. When we outgrew our church and moved to our hotel, we figured, and a lot of the attendees were no longer from just Pennsylvania. We were getting people from New York City, Massachusetts, Maine, a couple of Carolinas. We had a guy from Florida come up to the PA Gathering of Haunters. And we're like, we're pulling in people from all over the East Coast, so let's call ourselves the Eastern Haunters Convention. And we did that for 1 year at our hotel, and we blew out the hotel. There was just standing room only. There was just no room to move. And so that's when we decided to go to the Valley Forge Convention Center. Now, there's this wonderful club up in Massachusetts called the East Coast Haunt Club. And they have their own event. And there was some confusion between the Eastern Haunters Convention and the events the East Coast Haunt Club does. There's no relationship between the two. They do their thing, and we have our thing.
And I'm familiar with them.
So we felt a need to rename ourselves. And not only that, there were a handful of vendors who approached us and said, you know, we'd love to come to your event, but, you know, you're only for Eastern people. Even though we were starting to get attendees from, you know, California and from overseas, we've had people from England come to our convention. So it was really difficult for us to say, well, here's our attendees. We're pulling in people from all over America. So you should consider vending with us. And they were like, well, if you were named the National Convention, then we'd come. And my business partner, Robert Hightower, and myself, we looked at each other and were like, this is ridiculous. You're not coming to our convention simply because of our name? Fine, we'll change our name. And we changed our name, and sure enough, a lot of these vendors did come to our event and had significant sales. So it's a combination of a progression in size, getting bigger, because we have been outside, you know, outgrew a hotel, we outgrew the Valley Forge Convention Center. Now we're in the Philadelphia Expo Center, and also as a means to attract vendors from all over America. So, and I do realize there's been some controversy in the renaming of the event, but I really don't understand why such controversy. I mean, we could call ourselves Haunterpalooza. And would people complain that we're just trying to rip off U2's name?
I'm sure they would.
So there's really nothing we could name ourselves that wouldn't irritate somebody. And so we have this name. And not only that, in some areas. We also have a different name, the National Halloween Horror Haunted House and Hearst Convention. And that grew about because we started to get guests from outside the haunted attraction industry. You know, there's hearse clubs who would love to display their hearses. Okay, fine, bring your hearses. And we have this one vendor who makes Halloween ornaments, and they're so cool, they're beautiful. And she's like, well, would haunted house people buy them? But we're like, well, you could always come and see if people would buy them. She came, she sold tons, and she grew from a one-booth vendor to a four-booth vendor. And so, you know, some of the haunters who don't attend our event, they kind of make fun of vendors like that. But the truth is, people love that, and it's the love of the season. And we like to celebrate that love. It's the love of Halloween. It's the love of all things dark and spooky. And there is a crossover. There is a myriad of interests there. So that's how we're also using that other name as our event.
And the show has just continued to grow from there, I'm assuming.
Correct. Our attendance increased 30% last year.
That's a pretty good attendance. So I doubt very many others can say they grew by 30%.
Well, and keep in mind, we're still a young convention. This is only going to be our sixth year as a commercial business, and maybe our 12th year in existence total, if you include all the years at my church and as my backyard picnic. So in the grand scheme of things, we're still young compared to some other events that have been around for, say, 20 years or so.
Absolutely. So for somebody interested in coming, what could they expect? You know, people go to, you know, Haunt Cons and Midwest and Transworld. You know, Transworld's always known as the big buyer's show. Nobody will argue that point. But, you know, there's West Coast Haunters Convention, there's Canadian Haunters Convention, there's all these other quote-unquote haunters conventions. What would somebody expect to find at National Haunters Convention, and how would you differentiate yourself from the others?
Well, to answer the last part of your question first, differentiate ourselves. We have haunted attractions on our show floor. A lot of the other conventions don't have that. Luckily, the owner of the Philadelphia Expo Center loves haunted houses, and when we explained what we wanted to do by bringing commercial haunted attractions on the show floor, he was very supportive. He helped coordinate with the local fire marshals, and we were able to make it happen for the first time last year. And we're hoping to do the same again this upcoming year. So that's one huge, big difference. Another big, huge difference is we have nonstop stage show entertainment. I'm a geek fan of horror magic. You know, the Penn and Teller stage magic where something goes horribly wrong. I love horror magic.
That's
so
great.
On our stage show, we have nonstop entertainment. You know, there's some singers, there's some dancers, but there's lots of horror magicians, like maybe a dozen horror magicians. And in theory, you can come to our convention, just go to the stage area, sit down, and be entertained nonstop for the whole weekend. So that's another thing that I love is just we have all this awesome entertainment at our show. We have the vendors, but that's pretty standard. You go to any convention, there's vendors. And we have wonderful classes. And we also have a good hearse display. And not just hearses, but other parade cars. We have an ectomobile, we have a zombie mobile, and other vehicles like that. And it just goes to show you that there are some really, really incredible rides out there that people use as daily drivers. And I have a boring car. I have a Honda CR-V. And I wish I had some of these gorgeous hearses that are up there. There's this haunter named Kim Yates, who owns Kim's Crypt down in Maryland. She has this Cadillac hearse that should be in a museum. It's gorgeous. And what she brought on the show for is just breathtaking. And I like seeing stuff like that. So we encourage people to bring their hearses or other parade vehicles and display them on our show floor. So
are there any local hearse clubs in the area?
There are indeed. There's one in Philadelphia that comes to our event. So it's one more additional aspect to our con that most other conventions may not have. Now, so saying all that, I'm going to tell your listeners, when it comes to all the conventions, really make it an effort to go to all the conventions.
not only 1 year, because who could afford that, but really make an effort to go to all the conventions and find one that's a good fit for your personality. What I've noticed over the years is lots of conventions, they tend to have a personality. And if you go to lots of different conventions, you know exactly what I'm talking about. A convention develops a personality that reflects the owners of the convention. And when you go to enough conventions, you see this. And you start to realize, you know, I'm really, really comfortable at this event, but I'm not really comfortable at that event. And then when you get this experience of going to all these different conventions and you find out which ones you're comfortable with, then make that like your standard convention that you go to regularly. So am I recommending going to other conventions? Yes. I'm recommending get your feet wet. Try a little of everything. And go which one you feel most comfortable with.
Absolutely. You know, there's, you know, plus, you know, I'm going to assume, being in Philadelphia, you are pretty much smack dab in one of the most populated areas of the country. You've probably got 10 to 15 million people within 3 or 4 hours' drive of you. So convenience of that as well, you know, as far as, you know, not everybody can drive out to Columbus, Ohio, or Portland, Oregon, or St. Louis. But, you know, you were saying about East Coast, you know, you're within... You know, you're smack dab in that megalopolis between D.C. and New York. So, you know, you've got an automatic base there of people who could go to Philadelphia and check out this convention.
We do have a lucky happenstance of geographic location, yes. And it's wonderful. Plus, we have free parking. And having been to many conventions that didn't have free parking, I can tell you, free parking is a huge plus.
I like free parking. That's hard to get.
Yep, but that's just, you know, one of the many things that are free at our event. So what else makes our event special? We're trying something different this year. We're going to have a beauty contest, a Miss Halloween beauty contest. And this wasn't my idea. It wasn't my business partner Rob Hightower's idea. People have actually approached us with this. And it's always a roll the dice when people walk up to you and say, hey, you should do this. And it's always a worry, are people going to like it? Are people going to hate it? Other people have done something similar. Will they be offended? And so you're always stuck with this horrible decision. Do we go for it or do we not? But the thing is, you always want to make a different experience for everybody. You don't want it to be humdrum. You don't want it to be boring. So we took a roll of the dice and said, you know, let's go for it. Let's have a Miss Halloween beauty pageant. So initial response was very good, very positive. And I'm going to be stepping out of character for a minute and be honest with you. When I first announced this publicly, I was worried that feminists may be upset, saying it objectifies women, and all this. I was ready for a backlash. But the exact opposite occurred. Women are very... much interested in it. I've gotten numerous emails as far as details. We've had a few contestants sign up online already. So I'm very, very happy that it's being embraced the way it is and how quickly it's being embraced. And, of course, this is a free event at our convention, so anybody can come and watch the Miss Halloween Beauty Pageant at our convention.
I'm guessing the irony of that is not lost on the people out there who are saying, you know, this is a Halloween and horror convention, so having somebody in makeup, looking up there in a beauty pageant, it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand, does it? But yet, I absolutely know what you're talking about when you say a beauty pageant, quote unquote,
well,
right?
We're not looking for the most beautiful woman. We're looking for the individual who embodies the spirit of the season.
But you are looking for blood and gore, maybe, and really cool makeup?
Not necessarily.
Really?
We're looking for a representative who best embodies the spirit of the season. Okay, here's a perfect example. The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Have you ever watched that cartoon as a kid?
Very, very many times.
Okay. Do you love It's a Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown?
Who doesn't?
Okay. Have you ever seen A Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Do Do you like A Nightmare Before Christmas?
Actually, I love it, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, no, I have a point to make.
Okay.
Of those two things that you love, are they both Halloween related?
Yes, they are.
How much gore and blood is in both of those?
Probably zero.
So, it's blood and gore, while wonderful and a haunted attraction, is not all Halloween. Halloween is far more encompassing. It's possible to have a horror movie that's not all blood and gore.
Oh, absolutely.
There are some great suspenseful horror films where you don't see a drop of blood. It's just, it's all scary by the implied horror.
There are haunts out there that don't use a bit of blood, too. A couple come to mind.
So, right there. So, I'm a firm believer of encompassing all the aspects. You know, the hearses, the horror, the Halloween, haunted houses. And not just tunnel vision. You got to have your mind open. I mean, there's a world of competition out there. And if you allow yourself to be tunneled into a certain way of thinking, then guests will be disappointed by your lack of originality.
That's a good point. You know, I guess I'm thinking, you know, I've been to other conventions where they've had, you know, costume parties with, you know, pageants and things attached to them, and usually they're very gored up, very scary, very horrifying costumes, and I'm thinking, well, this is a, maybe even a refreshing change of that.
Well, and I'm sure there'll be those individuals that'll scoff or say, you know, what's haunted housey about, say, a woman dressed as a pumpkin? I'm just picking something. But you know what? If she looks the part, looks beautiful, it expresses the spirit of the season, right there you go. Okay, Elvira, classic image. How much blood is on Elvira? Not a drop.
Absolutely.
But when you look at her, your brain automatically clicks. Oh, horror. So right there. It's all about presentation and carrying yourself.
Again, good point.
And I'm sure there's going to be people who are calling in after this interview going, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But hopefully some people get what we're aiming for.
I guess the whole point of it is you need to come out and see it for yourself, especially since you said it's open to the public.
That's exactly true.
So
it's open to the entire family. There's no age limit. My wife has this private little game that she plays. And what she does is she likes to count strollers. Since we're open to the public and we encourage you, bring your family. And last year we had a total of 8 strollers. And it's a little game my wife plays. But to her, it shows us how many people are bringing their families. Because, remember, this all started as a picnic in my backyard. I really wanted my wife to talk to your wife so that they both could commiserate about what miserable bastards we were about making life-size werewolves in a living room in the middle of December. So it's all about bringing families together. And that includes my kids meeting your kids, my wife meeting your wife, and so on and so forth.
Well, I'll admit, I took my family, including my young children, to a convention a couple of years ago, and they had a great time, but there were some vendors that had some props that we shall say disturbed them a little bit until they realized how they worked and got to see them from behind and around and met the people that made them and all. Are you going to have, or do you tell your vendors to maybe cut down on the displays because there may be some young children there?
You know what? That's an awesome question. And we actually had a one-hour meeting just about this subject. Do we censor our vendors? And the answer is no. All we do is we notify our attendees there are certain vendors who have items of adult nature based on the nature of our convention. And being forewarned is being forearmed. And what really helps is a lot of parents, knowing this, will explain to their kids the whole nature behind it and, you know, how it operates and what it's really made of and so on and so forth. There's a great post on our Facebook page, Shocktoberfest, who were touring this year. They had a young lady there who brought her pet boa constrictor to the convention. And she walked around with this giant boa on her neck. And what happened was a guest walked up with her two-year-old, and the actress with the boa showed the two-year-old that the snake was perfectly safe, perfectly harmless. The young two-year-old petted the snake, and the two-year-old realized, you know, there's this fear that can be overcome just by becoming familiar with the object of the fear. And this is on my Facebook wall. I love this post because it shows me that somebody is sharing their love of the season with a family member, and the family member is not reacting adversely in a negative way. In fact, they're embracing it themselves. Now, if you're really clever, you just build on this year after year after year, and pretty soon your child is going to become more and more interested in what you do, and you'll be working on projects together. And it's just a few more steps before you're building, this is going to sound morbid, you're building coffins together, or you're building your own Halloween scenes together. And it's a way of family bonding, decorating for the holiday season. And it's not like hanging Christmas lights, you know, building a guillotine, spouting blood in the front yard, but it's a way of bonding and doing something you guys both share.
Absolutely. You know, one of my daughters wants to get into the business, so to speak. So we're going to do it baby steps because she is still a little bit young, but she does think it's cool, and her schoolmates think she's weird, but she embraces that, loves all that. But something you just mentioned a second ago, and that was the word tours. What kind of tours are you going to be holding at National this year?
This year is all about Shocktoberfest, located in Pennsylvania. It's been rated one of the number one haunted attractions in America by several different polls, including Haunted Attraction Magazine. Shocktoberfest is phenomenal. It's huge. And I'm going to use a term I do not use lightly. It is a Universal Studio Tour level hayride. I don't use that lightly. It is incredible. A lot of custom unique animations and scenes created just for Shocktoberfest. You go through it, and you feel like you're an actor in a movie. It's insane. It's incredible. And not only that, the owner of Shocktoberfest, he's going to be throwing a party for all the members on the tour with open bar. And this party is going to be the party to end all parties. It's going to be in this giant ghoul center that's like 10,000 square feet. And so if you go on the tour, you get the tour, but you also get this insane party going with it. So it's going to be just this incredible event.
Are you limiting that to a certain number of people, or is there just a limited amount of tickets for that available?
No, it's open to whoever wants to come.
Will there be buses available, or will people just have to get out there on their own?
We always have buses available. See, and that's another thing, too. I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I used to road trip my circle of friends all the time. And some of my happiest memories were being shoved in the car with not enough room, with everybody's smelly feet smelling up the place. You know, McDonald's wrappers were all over the place. And us just laughing and joking and maybe having enough money in the ashtray to get us there, and that's it. But those are wonderful memories for me because we actually sat and talked to each other about everything. And when we have these road trips and everyone's on a bus together, I can recreate that a little bit with the other people on the bus. And I hope that our guests recreate it with other guests too. And not only that, I met some really, really good friends on some other tours. And meeting a friend who ordinarily would never interact with, let's say a guy who owns a haunt in, say, another state, Georgia, simply because we're on a bus together on the tour and I talk to him and interact with him, it's a great way to build friendship, and I love that. So I highly recommend anyone hop on the bus, ride with everybody else, interact with everyone, and just talk to people. And you always see people who are like those little wallflowers. And so you walk up to them, you try to introduce them. We have several staff members whose sole job is to basically get the wallflowers out of their shell and to make introductions. So we're firm believers of we're going to make you family whether you want it to be or not.
Sounds great. How about the costume ball that you were mentioning earlier, too, the Cadaver's Cotillion? What can we expect for that this year?
Well, we're expanding Cadaver's Cotillion. We're having an open bar, So if you like to drink for free, where are the costume ball to go to? Not only that, the costume ball is in the Arnold's Complex, which is a funny name, but the Arnold's Complex, it has like an indoor racetrack, thousands, and I'm not using the term thousands lightly, thousands of arcade games, pinball tables. The facility is like 20,000 square feet in size or larger. It's just, it's huge. And there's indoor bounces and everything. And that doesn't sound right for a costume ball, but it's always awesome where you can enjoy the costume ball, you have fun, you get some free tokens, you run out, you play some arcade games, you come back. So, and since there's drinking allowed on the premises, it's just like one huge escape to an adult version of Disney World. So, and I don't know if they have, like, Dave and Buster's where you're at.
Yes.
But, yeah, so think of it as like a Dave and Buster's, but for haunters in costume.
And one thing that haunters really do know how to do is throw down a good party, especially with an open bar.
Woo, yeah.
I hope you have ample security. Yeah. So, aside from the beauty pageant, quote-unquote, what's new for 2013?
Oh, well, I am very proud of this. There are thousands of home haunters who dream of going pro. And this year, we're making that dream come true. There's an individual named Steve Randy who owns S&C Scare Factory, a former home haunter. Well, he's, for the first time ever, crossing that line and becoming a business. And he's been documenting and videotaping every step of the way from going from home haunter to commercial haunted attraction. He's bringing his new commercial haunted attraction to our show floor for his first ever commercial venture business. And he's following all the rules and regulations as applies to commercial haunted attractions. And he's opening up his newly commercialized haunted attraction up to critique for the commercial haunters and as for display to all the home haunters and show you that this is a dream being realized and coming true. Come check it out.
Interesting.
One
of the aspects of my job is training actors, and a lot of home haunters that, quote, make that leap into pro haunting do call me, because that's one thing I specialize in is teaching actors how to go from amateur to, quote, professional level scares. And that's something that you just don't hear a lot about. You know, you always hear the, well, I'm glad I do it, I do it, I wish I could make it go pro, and I just don't know what to do. So this sounds like a really valuable resource for that.
Well, not only a valuable resource, this is one of those times where you could actually see it happening live. You could actually talk to him and find out, so why did you switch from this type of wall to that type of wall? And he'll tell you. Or why did you change the scare from this to that? Or why did you change from a screen door cylinder pneumatic actuator to a real pneumatic cylinder? Which, by the way, for all you listeners, if you're using a screen door as a pneumatic cylinder that's been modified, replace it now. It's a bomb waiting to blow up. You see these home haunters who take shortcuts, and you just cringe in terror. So please, please, please get rid of those screen door pneumatic cylinders. Replace them with real pneumatic cylinders, please.
There's your PSA of the day, courtesy of the Big Scary.
But it's really a wonderful opportunity to see, okay, this guy, he made the leap. Hey, if he can make the leap, I can make the leap. Anybody can make the leap, as long as they believe in what you're doing and put in a little elbow grease.
And, of course, meet codes, which we all love to deal with.
Well, once again, this is a wonderful opportunity to speak to an individual who's doing it, who's meeting the codes, how much work was involved in meeting those codes, the step he took to meet those codes, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. So, in a nutshell, the National Haunters Convention is May 3rd through the 5th, 2013, at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. Is it Oaks, Pennsylvania? Is it Philadelphia? What is it? What is the official town there?
It's in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Think of it as a great big suburb.
So it's Philadelphia Heights, basically.
Yeah.
I'm assuming not too far off, you know, a slew of major interstates should be easy access and free parking, correct?
That is quite correct.
All right. For people who want to get information, we do need to wind this down as time is drawing short. For people who need it or who are interested now or their curiosity has piqued, open bars and beauty pageants and tours of Shocktoberfest and the Cadaver's Cotillion vendors galore in a huge expo center just outside Philadelphia, how can they get that information, the schedules, contact information, if you want to vend or speak or teach a class or to get a schedule of what's already out there? What's the best way to go about finding all that information?
Please visit our website at www.nationalhauntersconvention.com.
It's just that simple. So I also assume you have a Facebook page, Twitter account, and other things?
We do have a Facebook page. The Facebook website is facebook.com/Halloween Show. And our Twitter account. We do have a Twitter account, but we don't really use it because we always hear negative things from people who use Twitter. So if you want us to use Twitter and you want to know about us, please email us at mike@nationalhauntersconvention.com or rob@nationalhauntersconvention.com and demand that we use Twitter, and we will start using Twitter just for you.
So just start that tweeting campaign now. Well, Michael Bruner, it has been a distinct pleasure to talk to you about National Haunters Convention for the Big Scary Show. Who knows? The Big Scary Show might have to come up and check this whole thing out. This is one of the conventions I have not been to. You know, you've been scheduled against other things or, you know, frankly, travel costs being what they are. But I'm certainly going to look into the possibility of getting the Big Scary Show to cover this because it does sound like a grand old time and a lot of fun in a very historical, vibrant, and, you know, fairly cool city to hang out. You know, if you're bored, you can go check out, you know, a little bit of history in Philadelphia. Gee, one or two things at least. But nationalhauntersconvention.com for everything NHC related, May 3rd through the 5th, 2013, the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Michael Bruner, thank you once again for taking the time to speak to us about the National Haunters Convention here on the Big Scary Show. Any final words?
Just remember, our event's just one great big old party. And thank you so much for having me on the Big Scary Show.
Absolutely, and haunters do love to party. Once again, this is Drew Badger here on the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Stiff Magazine presents The Return of MonsterCon, coming to the Greenville Hilton in Greenville, South Carolina, July 26th through 28th, 2013. MonsterCon will feature celebrity guests, including guest of honor David Prowse, comic and toy vendor areas, panels and discussion groups, special offers for local and independent artists, horror and sci-fi themed entertainment, the MonsterCon Film Festival, live music by the Graveyard Boulevard, Valentine Wolf, and others, anime, sideshow performances by Captain Stab Tuggo and Madame Maybell, late night entertainment for adults featuring single cell entertainment, and much, much more. For more information, details, directions, and tickets, visit MonsterCon.org. That's MonsterCon.org. Don't miss the return of MonsterCon. Order tickets now before it's too late.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, the airing of this week's show corresponds with the 2013 gathering at Transworld. You know, the big event and pretty much a huge gathering of major haunters across the country. But I'd like to talk about another gathering of the weird, and that's the 2013 Alice Cooper Cruise Ship of Fear. This event has been canceled. Now, there are probably a whole bunch of reasons for the event being canceled. First and foremost, a bunch of people on a cruise with Alice Cooper and other B-list celebrities like Corey Feldman. I'm sure nothing wrong would happen there. Now, we could be looking at, you know, an extension of the issues with the economy, that people aren't willing to spend that much on Halloween again this year. And we saw some of that in haunts, depending on the areas, especially on your off nights. You know, that could be part of it. The price is definitely a big handle into this one. But, you know, 2,400 lunatics running around on a cruise ship for Halloween, that could be another issue there. Of course, another major factor could be it was a Carnival cruise, and we've seen already bad press. Now, just picture this. The people who come through your haunt every year, and also Big Alice Cooper fans, and Corey Feldman, on a boat, without power, in the middle of the ocean. There's your horror movie right there. Best horror movie ever. Quick, somebody put like a dragon with tentacles and maybe another chupacabra. Call Sci-Fi Channel and Asylum Films, wherever those hacks are. Let's get this one made. The Alice Cooper Horror Cruise. I'm sure it's in the works someplace already. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
It's 2013. How do you keep up with all your customers who are on the go? The answer? HauntApps.com. HauntApps is designed to provide your haunted attraction with a direct line of communication to your customers via the iOS or iPhone and Android applications. Some features you will find with HauntApps include customized branding with your attraction's logos, an interface that works for your needs, iPad enhancement for the iOS, audio-video playback, direct communication, and the option for online ticketing. Let HauntApps do all the hard work so you can concentrate on scaring the customers. That's HauntApps.com for your mobile application needs.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. We want to thank Butch Patrick for sitting down with Badger to talk about his life. We want to thank Craig Hines from Dark Imaginings for joining us on the Round Table of Terror, darkimaginings.com. And a special thanks to Michael Bruner from the National Haunters Convention, NationalHauntersConvention.com. Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs, ThornwebDesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at HauntAudio.com. Von Caron Productions, Von Caron, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios, at ScreenLineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts, Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com, The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane, pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at JerryVane.com, and Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabidbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter, at Big Scary Show. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.
Horror, metal, haunting. It's all dark and scary. At Thorn Web Designs, we know what you want, what you need, and we will give you exactly that. Since 2007, we have been providing our customers with the best logos, web designs, and more. We can offer to keep their image dark, scary, and memorable, not to mention fantastic prices. With clients from Nightmare Zone Haunted House and Wells Township Haunted House, we are ready to give you the smoke you need for web presence. To get your quote and to browse our portfolio, visit thornwebdesigns.com.